Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and Merry Christmas. It's the first day of football. Can you believe it? Welcome to Assignment Football on this fantastic Sunday morning. Again, first day of football. I'm so excited. It's like Christmas morning around here. Unfortunately, our regular co-host, Mike Mastrolio, will not be joining us today. He had a family commitment that he had to take care of. So scrambling around, looking for a special guest co-host, and we were lucky enough to get our good friend of the program from bloggingtheboys.com. It's Rabble Rouser. Rabble, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I want to say thank you very much for coming on and joining us today. Couldn't have picked a better replacement for Mike. I told him, look out, you might get Wally Pipp tomorrow. But he texted me yesterday. Oh, go ahead. No, say it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think your analogy that this is NFL Christmas is absolutely spot on. This is one of the greatest days of the year, the opening day of the NFL season. It's a fantastic day, and I know that almost everybody's been looking forward to this for about 200 days now.
Oh, for sure. And it's like Thursday night was like that one present you get to open on Christmas Eve if you're in one of those families.
Exactly.
It was so weird because I was in one of those families some years and some years I wasn't, which kind of confused me as a child, but that's okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and, you know, because unless you're a Patriots or a Steelers fan, it's like opening that sweater that your grandma sent. Like your parents won't let you open the awesome present, like the cool railroad set or the awesome car or the cool video game. Until Christmas, until the end of Christmas. So you know the one you're going to get the night before is not going to be the awesome gift. So most of us are going to get our awesome gift today.
Yeah, it's that bunny suit pajama set that your aunt sent you.
Exactly.
But a good game, exciting game. I mean, not as close as the final score would indicate. I thought Tom Brady looked like Tom Brady. I mean, no question about it. He kind of looked like he had a point to prove. I mean, he was pretty pumped up before the game started, and he went out there and had himself a game. 4 touchdowns, almost 300 yards. I think it was like 280. No picks. Just looked fantastic. Him and Gronk were definitely in sync for the first night of the season, and I think they looked good. What did you see in that game?
I think they looked good, and I think you're right. I think that, to me, there's a couple narratives here in what you just said. The first is that Tom Brady, I think as many of us suspect, is going to play this year with a particularly special vengeance. You know, a kind of like, see, Goodell, you know, look what I can do. Kind of chip on his shoulder. And then the second is, one of the reasons they were so good is they were able to exploit what at least was on Thursday, a really, really bad and confused Pittsburgh secondary.
Yeah. Mike and I text back and forth a lot during games, especially he's a Patriots fan, so we were texting back and forth a lot during that game, and he said, boy, Patriots offense looks good, and I agreed, and I said, of course they do look good. I said, but I think also the Steelers look a little bit like hot garbage on defense. They couldn't guard anybody. Gronk had his way. Not that, you know, Gronk's an easy assignment, but they really didn't have any really good moments. They had a couple nice blitz packages where they were able to, a couple good designs where they're able to get a man free on Brady. They brought him down one time is it. But other than that, I mean, I guess people kind of give him credit because they're Pittsburgh. Oh, it's Pittsburgh. The defense is going to be good. But there's a lot of moving parts in that defense this year. A lot of guys from last year, last few years, gone, including Brett Kiesel, Troy Polamalu, Mike Taylor, a lot of really important guys on that team. And not for nothing, but, you know, you showed Vic LeBeau the door, kind of, and you know, I don't know that you can just automatically assume because they're wearing the Pittsburgh Steelers helmet that they're going to be a great defense. I think some of their young players are going to be really good, but I don't know that this year they're going to be as stout as you might expect from Pittsburgh.
I agree completely. I think that's exactly what's happening. They're in the early stages of a rebuild and an identity reformation.
Absolutely. I think the one thing for Pittsburgh that went really well, like offensively, obviously they're missing two of their bigger players in Martavis Bryant and Le'Veon Bell, but the one thing that surprised me the most was the one thing they could absolutely hang their hat on was D'Angelo Williams. He looked fantastic in this game. He ran the ball so well. I was honestly surprised, and I'll be honest with you, I have Le'Veon Bell in the league. I picked D'Angelo Williams up just to play him in this game for fantasy football. I know you're huge on fantasy football, Rabble. Just kidding, Rabble, that actually doesn't do a lot with fantasy. But D'Angelo Williams looked really good, and I think that kind of has some kind of indication that the Patriots defense also is in a flux position too. So you wonder how good their defense is going to be, but certainly on Thursday night they were good enough. Even with D'Angelo Williams having a great night. So before we go much further, I want to remind everybody that we are brought to you by FanUpNetwork.com. Go to FanUpNetwork.com today to sign up for the free Fantasy Network app. Simply register at FanUpNetwork.com and follow the instructions for your platform, whether it's iPhone or Android or Windows. FanUp Network will help you dominate in all your leagues. You keep track of all your fantasy teams in one place. You see real-time player news and receive expert fantasy advice. So go to FanUpNetwork.com and sign up today. And don't forget to follow them on Twitter. Their handle is FanUpNetwork. Speaking of Twitter, Rabble Rouser's on Twitter. And you just follow him at Rabble Rouser, RABBLEROUSR. Drop that last E. And you can follow me, of course, as well. I am at Duckman for Real, and the show is at AF Podcast, FSWH, which is obviously not confusing. Okay. So if you'd like to join the conversation, the number to call into the show is 347-637-2812. We've got a couple of really great guests lined up for a little bit later on. It looks like we've got maybe one of them on the line already. Let's see. We'll go on with what we're doing right now, though. NFL news and notes. Steelers and Patriots, we already talked about. There are some key injuries today. From a couple of the early games, Dwayne Bowe from the Cleveland Browns is out today. He will not be participating in today's game against the Jets. The Giants will be without Victor Cruz and John Beeson with their game later tonight against Dallas. Seattle and St. Louis, Trey Mason and Todd Gurley are both out for them. Luckily for the Arizona Cardinals, looks like Michael Floyd is going to be able to play, and the Buccaneers are pretty optimistic that Mike Evans is going to play as well. Another story big this morning, I don't know if you saw this one. I don't know how early you got up over on the East. Are you on the East Coast, right, Rabble?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, over on the East Coast, you may have seen it this morning. Some on the Giants fear that JPP may miss the entire season this year. Dan Graziano of ESPN.com, fantastic writer. I've followed him for years, ever since he was the main writer for the NFC East, now that they've broken him down team by team. He covers the Giants, and he's saying that Giants feel that the damage to JPP's hand is far worse than what they were led to believe. And after the team got a chance to look at him this past Monday, there's some in the organization who fear he might not be able to return to the field at all this year. And, the thing is, when I first heard the story of him blowing off his right index finger, I said, boy, that's not good, right? I mean, and there was, oh, he'll be fine. He might miss the game. What are you talking about? He's missing a digit on his right hand. And he's, people are like, he's a defensive player. Yeah, he's a defensive end, and he needs his hand to fight against Tyron Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Right or wrong? You got to have full use of your hand.
No, absolutely right. And, not only does it look like he might miss this season, but I honestly wonder if we'll ever see him again. He's going to have to find a way to compensate missing arguably the most important digit in his dominant hand. And, I know we all look at someone like JPP and we think, okay, his game is about quickness or, combination of quickness and power. Every lineman's game is about one thing. It's about his hands. If you've got good hands, you can win these battles. You can control the other man. And when you're missing, one-tenth of that, and you're missing the most important digit on the most important hand, it makes me wonder about his ability to compete in future at all, even when it does heal up satisfactorily.
Right. I mean, when you're talking about an offensive line, defensive line battle, a lot of times that battle is won with the initial punch, and who gets it first and who gets it harder, whether it's you know, the offensive lineman or the defense lineman gets their hands into the other one first and establishes position, and that's, you know, that can be important. Just imagine you don't have your index finger anymore. You don't have as much strength in your hand. You just don't. There's no way to, and there's no real way to compensate for it. So that's kind of interesting. And also interesting that last Monday he's in there insisting that he's ready to go. Put a cast on me. I'll play Monday. I'll play Sunday night. So it's just a really weird situation. And, of course, they're on the hook because he hasn't signed the tender. And now they can't put him on the NFI, the non-football injury list, and bring him back later. So what they need him to do is to sign his tender so they can put him on the non-football injury list so they don't have to pay him. And he's not going to do that. He is not going to do that.
Right.
So there we go with that. So let's check and see who's on the line with us, just so we know about that one. Hold on a second. Caller, you are on the air. Who do we have?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi there.
How you doing?
Who have we got?
Good morning, NFL.
Good morning. It's a good day.
This is a fucking excellent day. Sorry. I don't know if you're allowed to curse. Excellent day. No, well, sorry about
excellent.
That. It won't happen again.
That's
starting
okay.
off smooth.
So who we got here?
This is Justin, FF Couch Coach.
Okay, Justin, awesome. You are you're on the line. Great. You're going to be up in our next segment. So what we'll do now, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll join Justin Barlow of Fantasy. FFCouchCoach.com, that's obviously Fantasy Football Couch Coach. He's going to join us for our next segment, which will be a fantasy segment, Stardom Sit'em, kind of take a look at our who we like this week and who we don't like this week. So what we'll do is we'll go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk some fantasy football right here on Assignment Football. Happy Football Sunday, everybody. We'll be right back after this.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first.
You live it, breathe it. You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
We are back here on Assignment Football on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. And, of course, because we are a Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, we like to do a really big fantasy segment every week. This week we are joined by fantasy football expert Justin Barlow of FFCouchCoach.com. Really good stuff from Justin. Follow him on Twitter. He's got a lot of great advice for you. Justin, how's it going this morning?
It's going excellent, guys. I really appreciate you having me on. Sorry for calling a little late. I was actually in the shower because it's a crazy morning. I've been up since say 7:30. I didn't go to bed until 3:30, so I just I can't sleep a wink because it's NFL morning, and you know, I can't wait to grit my teeth and look at my 10,000 NFL fantasy football teams, and it's here. It's finally here.
So yeah, how many leagues are you running this? I mean, I'm not even talking about daily, but how many like season long leagues are you in?
I am in. You know what? And this is a high for me. It might not be for a lot of guys because there's some guys that I know that are in like 90 leagues and things like that. But I'm in a humble 20. That includes best ball too. There's like I would say there's about 9 best ball leagues. Anywhere from 9 to 12, something like that. But you know, they're less maintenance, so they're pretty easy. You just draft and that's it. You just let it go. But the other ones they're still fun though, because I don't have that. It's like a droning thing. I've gone through it where I was, because I went through it when I first had a kid. You know, you want to cut a little budget. So I was only in one league. I was in my home league that year. And, it stinks because you end up overmanaging that team. Well, I did anyway, I tend to do that because I only had that one team to look at. So like, I'm looking at the waiver wires every single day, pretty much every single hour. I'm trying to force trades and I just made really, really terrible moves. I find that the more leagues that I'm in, the calmer I am. So I make more, calm decisions and, it's worked out nice for me. Plus it's fun, man. You get to pepper it in there with different guys that you like. I mean, you know, you don't have to just stick to Dez Bryant and, you can go to Julio in the next draft. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. Now 20 would be really high for me. I usually play about 3 to 5. I'm in 5 this year.
Nice.
It's totally fun, but I can't do one because it's just like you. I can't do one because not even just for that fact, but what happens if it's week 6 and I'm 0-6 and I'm done?
Uh-huh.
My fantasy team is no
longer
fun.
That's what I mean.
Fun.
And
right.
It's not only that, but you know, because you're like you're maintaining. Like, I mean, you're going to be talking about it on a podcast, or in my case, I'm writing about it. We're talking about it on a podcast, and it's like, man, I don't. This isn't fun for me. Like, I'm helping other people, but I only have one team, so this stinks. You know, but you know, there is always there's always DFS too. You know what I mean? So, the DFS
right.
side
we'll
of it.
We'll get into
is,
a little bit of that.
Fun. Sure. Yeah. Definitely.
That's a way to keep going. If your team, you know, if your teams aren't doing so well, you like get into the daily fantasy. A lot of those places are a way that you can actually, if you're a little bit of a degenerate gambler, you can put a little money on the line every week, and you don't have to wait to the end of the season. Because I know that always my league payouts are the week after Christmas, which you know actually kind of is good,
yeah,
I guess, because the bank account's a little light.
It makes it more fun for, especially for guys like we were just talking about that are really only involved in one league or so. You get to play the players. You get to try out the players every week if you want to in multiple leagues. That you wouldn't ordinarily get to get in a season long league. You can get Julio Dez or you can get the Marco Mar- or whoever you want. Really, I mean, it's just really cool.
Right.
So I'm having a lot of fun with it. And, you know, the operative word that you were saying is you can put a little bit of money if you just want to try it. If you just want to try it for, like, a buck. They have contracts
right.
like that. So it's really neat.
Actually, Justin and I were talking before he came on. We were talking yesterday that he has a new site that he found. I mean, obviously the big ones are out there, but this is a newer site. It's endorsed by some NFL guys, and it's called fantasydraft.com. I went on and checked it out yesterday. I liked it so much that we set up our own kind of way for you guys.
Did you end up signing
up? You want to get in? I did. I ended up signing up for it. We have our own account,
awesome.
So you just go to fantasydraft.com/play/assignmentsfootball, and you can get started in there. You can play for free. You can deposit a small amount of money. You can deposit a decent amount of money. They'll match you up to $600 deposit. So if you put in $600, you got $1,200. You put in $25, you got $50. You can play 1 week fantasy league. I'm trying it out for the first time. I'm kind of new to it, and I like it. Rabble, you should get in on that.
Okay, all right.
It's not a long commitment.
Especially
it's kind of cool.
Yeah, especially this week. If you have time, definitely check it out if you can, because it's only, as of right now, 11:15 on Eastern Standard. They have a lot of guaranteed contests right now that aren't filled. I mean, I'm talking like crazy overlays where you can get into a 50-50 and you only have to beat out, like, say, 20 people and there's only 35 people in the contest. So you only have to really beat out 15 people to get into the money. It's pretty crazy. And, like, I'm not overselling here. I was just looking at it before I was on before I came on with you guys earlier this morning. So, it's definitely something to check out and take advantage of, especially this week. I mean, I don't know how much it's going to gain popularity throughout, this week and next week. So you might not be able to take advantage next week. Who knows? You might be able to. I don't know. But they have a lot of contests, and it's definitely something to check out. They have like over 400 contests this week.
And it's a good point. Is the bigger ones, your DraftKings fans, they're very crowded. They're very heavy advertising. They're involved with the NBA. Uh-huh. They're involved with the NFL, and they're getting really, really crowded. There's lots of guys playing, so it's harder to get into the money in those leagues. You get into a smaller site that's just starting out, you might be able to get into the money a little more easily. So let's talk about fantasy football startup. Oh, go ahead, Justin. You want to make one more point?
Yes. Well, no, I was just going to say that the fantasy draft, the payout zone, like the actual where you're in the money, it's very large as well. So not only are the player pools small, but the payout zones are large. So, you're I don't know. I mean, I'm not a mathematician or anything like that, but you're mathematically more likely to win. That's just how it works out for me.
Well, it just makes sense. It just makes sense, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
The numbers are in your favor. All right, so let's talk about who we like this week in fantasy. Obviously, we're not saying – just like with any other kind of fantasy segment here, no one's going to tell you, well, you should start Aaron Rodgers against the Chicago Bears. Well, that should be a no-brainer for you. If you have Aaron Rodgers on your fantasy team and you're not starting him, you should quit playing fantasy immediately.
Yeah.
All right, so, Justin, who do you like this week as kind of a player that is out there on the waiver wire kind of guy who you might be able to pick up and put in your lineup and have a big day today?
Well, I jotted down some names that I like this week that were drafted low. Not so much waiver wire guys, but guys that you could have – I mean, they could be in waiver wires. It really depends on the size
sure.
of the league. But these are guys that you know that were drafted lower that I would really consider in a flex position. Or you might want to just take advantage of their this week's situation. Number one is Stevie Johnson. This isn't in any particular order either. I'm just – you know, these are just names that I jotted down and – you know, I thought that I should mention. Like I said, Stevie Johnson, I really like his situation. You know, Antonio Gates is suspended for 4 games. And, you know, of course, they got that huge hole at tight end with Antonio Gates and Ladarius Green out. I love him for this week. He's in the slot. He'll be getting those. I think that he'll get those targets that Antonio Gates would get normally. And also there's Keenan Allen. Of course you don't forget about him, but Stevie Johnson is a sneaky play because he isn't drafted. His average drafted position is in the mid 13th round. So, you know, he's definitely somebody that you want to take care, you know, take advantage of. If you have the room, you know, if you have a slot, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm not telling you to start him over. Actually, you know what? I had this conversation with some of my writers this morning. I had a conversation whether or not I should flex in Stevie Johnson because of the situation again. This is going to sound crazy, but it was either Stevie Johnson, John Brown, or Charles Johnson. And I'm going to start out of those three. I'm starting John Brown personally, just because I love him this week. So you know. That's where I'm going to go. But, you know, Stevie Johnson isn't drafted till the 13th, and I was having that conversation. So, you know, that says something.
Yeah, I mean, and I can see where, you know, you're looking at a guy who, like you said, he was drafted late, so he's probably available in a lot of leagues. I'm sure he's available in a lot of leagues, actually.
Sure, yeah, it's likely. Yeah.
So there we go. And even though I think Ladarius Green actually looks like he's going to play today, but I still think that there's a chance that some of those targets are going to go – the way of a guy like Stevie Johnson, a guy who I like.
You know.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I thought you know. I was just going to say that Ladarius. I had Stevie Johnson jotted down before the Ladarius concussion happened. So you know that.
Right.
I just think that he's going to have a nice week. I don't know. I just think that him and Philip Rivers are going to hook up this week at some point.
Well, yeah, Keenan Allen didn't have a great year last year by any means. Certainly not the year he had when he was a rookie. Fantasy-wise, so, I mean, you're looking at a kind of fluid situation there. Stevie Johnson could come in and be that, you know, that veteran presence, that guy who Rivers really trusts, especially in the absence of Antonio Gates. A guy
sure.
who I like today,
Absolutely.
Kenny Stills. I like him for Miami against Washington, so the matchup is good.
Okay.
He's only owned in 42% of Yahoo leagues. I went to Yahoo because that's one of the more popular sites.
Sure.
Kenny's a guy who had a good you know, early career in New Orleans, and obviously Breeze likes to throw it around a little bit. I think he could have a big day today, depending on how Washington looks at Jarvis Landry, which I'm sure they're going to try to roll some coverage his way, especially if he gets going early. Kenny is a a dynamic receiver. He's got some speed. He's got good hands. He's been pretty good in his early career, and I think it was a big pickup for Miami, and I think it could be a big pickup for fantasy owners in deeper leagues especially. If you can get Kenny Stills this morning, throw him in your lineup, you could be looking at a guy who has, you know, 80 yards and a touchdown, 75 yards and a touchdown. Could be a good day for him.
Not a bad call. I'm gonna switch it up on my list because another one is Stevie Johnson's teammate, so I'll skip him for a little bit later. Another guy that you kind of touched on in your injury report earlier before you had me on was Victor Cruz is out, so I like Ruben Randle this week. Ruben Randle, his ADP isn't until the end of the 14th. That's crazy. I mean,
right.
Now you think it's crazy because it's week one. We know that there's an injury situation and he's next on board, but apparently nobody was thinking about it back then. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I just think that this particular game against Dallas is going to be a shootout. They're going to double up on ODB. And, I just love the Rubik to get something in the red zone. I mean, he's a big guy. He's got something to prove from last year. So he's next in line. And there is Preston Parker on that team too. If anybody, if Ruben Randle was scooped up and somebody is desperate in their league, they can reach a little deeper and check out Preston Parker because he will get some looks.
Right, and I think that's where you're at. I mean, it's week one, so it's a crapshoot. You know, it's a lot easier to sit here in week 10 and say, oh, this guy's having a great year. He's really available in a lot of leagues. It's easy to put him in the lineup. You don't know how offenses are going to go. I do agree that I think. Obviously, Dallas is going to pay a lot of attention to ODB, especially with Victor Cruz being out. And I think a lot of guys were drafting. I've seen Victor Cruz go in a lot of leagues pretty high, and I was kind of surprised about it, but just because coming back from the injury, you just don't know. Another guy he's not available in a ton of leagues, but he's available in enough that it kind of, clicked off a switch in my head, is Tevin Coleman. He's only owned in 76% of leagues.
Nice.
Okay, so it's 24% that he's not owned in.
What was that percentage again?
He's owned in 76% of leagues. So he's available in almost a quarter of the leagues out there.
Yeah.
And he is the starter for Atlanta. He is a starting running back. Devontae Freeman's not going to be a starter. This kid's got a lot of potential to have a really big year this year for a rookie, 900, 1,000, 1,100 yards. You know, if you need a flex player or an RB2, Tevin Coleman should be on your radar. And if I'm you, I'm looking on the free agent wire and seeing if Tevin Coleman's available. And if I'm one of those 24% of leagues where Tevin Coleman's available and really considering putting him on my lineup, I've got him in a couple leagues kind of stashed away because I think he's going to have a big year for Atlanta.
Dude, I totally agree. I drafted him in my Dynasty rookie draft. Tevin Coleman is one of these guys that, like, If I was in a league where I saw him on a waiver wire, I would publicly shame every single person in my league because he should not be on the waivers. And 23% is what was it? 23% you said? It's ridiculous. He should be owned 100%.
Absolutely.
He's a starting running back in the NFL. And Devontae Freeman did not show much last year. I don't know why everybody is like all over Devontae Freeman. I mean, the guy is already showing injury stuff. And I know Coleman did too, but Coleman can also, had his college success as well. You know, he rushed over 2,000 yards in a season. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, this guy is good, so he should not.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be 76% of. That's dumb.
Well,
that's stupid.
Just so you know, Justin Ravel and I both cover the Dallas Cowboys, and so heading into the draft, I mean, I'm sure I know I looked at a lot of running backs. Even though the Cowboys didn't take one, you had to do your due diligence on running backs, and Tevin Coleman was one of the guys I thought that. If he got a chance in Dallas, it would have been a great situation for him. But not just because of the line, but because of the kind of runner he is. What did you think of Tevin coming into the draft?
It would have been a great marriage. That would have been a sick. Like, and they could have got him too. I just, I don't know.
Well, they could have got a lot of guys. They just didn't like a lot of guys as much as all that. Okay, we got a couple callers on the line. Let's get some questions in here. Caller, you are on the air. Who have we got?
Good morning, Tom. This is Mark from Syracuse. How are you?
Hey, Mark, how's it going? You got questions?
I do. Devontae Parker. I haven't heard that name at all. Tom, he's going to have a big day. He's the guy for the Dolphins. They got a lot of weapons. Tannehill's got a lot of hype coming in. He is the guy that's going to score for the Dolphins. He's the guy they need. Red zone, it's not Cameron. It's Devontae Parker. Book it, Tom Duck.
Okay. Talk to me about Devontae Parker, Justin. What do you think of that? Thanks, Mark, for your call. We'll talk to you.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the question. I'm a huge fan of Devonta Parker, man. You know, if I could own him, I'm actually mad that I didn't draft him in my home redraft league because a buddy of mine did, you know, obviously draft him, and he's like one of my bigger rivals in the league. So, you know, it's like one of those things where I'm like, oh, you got him, you got the Ferrari, you know. But as far as week one, I wouldn't start him, just not yet. I want to see. First, obviously that's contingent on. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot going on in that offense, and if I was a Ryan Tannehill owner, I'd be very happy because he's got a lot of weapons. But I mean, you got Jarvis Landry, like you mentioned, you got Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker. We haven't even mentioned the backfield. You know, Jordan Cameron, of course.
Yeah.
They're going to want to give something to somebody every time. So I just want to sit back and wait. You know, collect your chips, and you know, maybe we can cash in a little bit later. But you know, sit him for now. And plus, he had those injury issues. You just want to wait. Just wait. Wait. He'll do it, but not yet. He's a rookie.
So
give him some time. Oh, and we haven't mentioned Greg Jennings. I mean, you know, there's just so many guys in the mix.
I know.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot of guys down there. A lot
going on in Miami.
So pick him up off your waiver wire. Stash him. See what happens. Go from there.
Yeah,
that's your advice on Devontae Parker.
Yeah. He could be owned.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well,
Mark, I
like your prediction, Mark Zuccaro. I like that a lot. I like your bold prediction that Devontae Parker is going to be the guy that scores for them. I appreciate that. You there, Mark?
I guess he figured
anyway.
His question was in.
He's going to take the answer off the air. Thanks, guys. All right. So anybody else you like? How about this? Who is a starter in most leagues and you're not going to – you don't like his matchup today? You got one guy?
I have a few. This week, I think I'm avoiding Mike Evans. I know that, like, you know, recent news, even this morning, they were saying that he's. I think it was the word he was. He was confident that he was going to play or something like that. And I'm just like, man, it just sounds like he just like really wants to, and he's gonna. I don't know. I'm not. It's one of those things where I'm not sold yet that he's back from that injury. And I don't want.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish he wasn't. I wish he wasn't rushing. You know, self back from the hamstring thing. But it just feels a little quick for me. It feels a little rushed. For me, on that team, V-Jax is the guy.
Yeah, I have Mike Evans in the league. I've got him on my bench. I'm not playing him today.
Uh-huh.
I don't buy that he's recovered from the injury yet. I think
it's hard too
to come back early.
Yeah, it's hard too because I'm sure
you're
drafting high, and you're like, man, I really want to start my guy. I want to start the guy that I took. You know, but you can't.
Yeah, but you got to be smart.
Sometimes you just got to make smarter decisions. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But you know what? And
this is
where those waiver wire guys come in.
Absolutely, you're absolutely correct. Yeah. That's where you pick up your waiver wire. You put that guy in this week. You stash your starter on the bench for just a little. Yeah, put Ruben Randall in.
And one other guy that I want to mention real fast. I don't have to get too far into him, but Tyler Lockett might be a crazy sleeper this week. Crazy. So we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, they're playing the same. They're playing the Rams defense. That's not a bad defense. So we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I actually see a lot of people talking down on Marshawn Lynch this week. So because of this St. Louis defense. So
right.
Tyler Lockett, you never know. You don't know if they're going to. Yeah. And he's. I wrote it down. He's being drafted in the mid 16th round. So he could be on your waivers. Check it out. He is somebody to fill in for Mike Evans or an Alshon Jeffrey because I'm not starting Alshon in my league.
No. And if you're on a dynasty league, a keeper league, something like that, Tyler Lockett might be a guy to look at for the long term too because this guy looks like he's got a ton of talent. Absolutely, ton of talent.
He's another guy that.
All right, Justin.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on with us. We really appreciate
it.
I know Rabble, I'm sorry we didn't get you in on this a lot. I know Rabble's not really into fantasy football. So.
Hey, no, listen, I love listening to the knowledge, guys. It's a great conversation. Thanks so much for joining us there, buddy.
Yeah, no problem,
Justin,
man. Check me out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, give him where to find you. Go.
No, yeah, I was just going to say, you can check me out. Anybody ask me questions live, too, on Twitter, at FFCouchCoach, and you can check us out. I have a staff of 17 writers. We analyze IDP, redraft, dynasty, pretty much every format you can think of. I've got somebody that fits that mold. So if you got a question, we can answer at FFCouchCoach.com. And this morning, we are so excited. My writers and I, we were actually talking in a Boxer chat, and our thing this morning, and I got to give you guys one live on the air, is a little Ric Flair woo because it's Sunday morning and it's NFL Sunday.
Woo! Go get him. All right, Justin, thanks very much. All right, thanks for calling in. Okay, so, oh, I just lost whoever was hanging on the line there for like 7 minutes. Sorry about that. Please call back. If you're an 860 area code, please call back. I hope that wasn't Tom Ryle. Anyway, so that was a good segment. I really liked the fantasy knowledge from Justin Barlow. Again, check out that new site, fantasydraft.com, and you can check it out, you know, by coming right to our site, fantasydraft.com/play/assignmentfootball. Sign up there today, and you can start to get involved in all this daily fantasy stuff that, you know, everyone's been talking about, DFS League. It's like I said, I'm playing my first one this week. I mean, I could literally win $25, Rebel.
Wow. I mean, that's life-changing money, my friend.
Absolutely, but it's a start. It's a start. It's where you got to start small to get big, I guess. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to get Rabble more involved in the conversation. We're going to talk about some bold predictions for the NFL in this week and throughout the season. When we come back on Assignment Football.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
You live it. You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
All right, we are back on Assignment Football. So, Rebel, I'll let you know, we've had a little problem with a lot of the commercials and stuff. Like, I have this really cool intro that I cut a few weeks back, and for whatever reason, the site changed what we were doing and the way we do our studio, and a lot of the audio got lost, and we just haven't been able to get it back. So, we've had about three commercials that are working. So we're just going to roll over that until we get this whole thing figured out. The good thing is, all the music that I upload to do the show is coming out of the breaks. That all goes on, and it's okay. So far today, we started off the show with the Mighty Mighty Boston's Impression That I Get. Coming out of the first break, we had a song. It's a little bit more obscure, but it's one that I remember from way back when I was a young guy. It's called Hey Mr. DJ by Jean A, probably because I was a DJ at the time, so I kind of really liked the song. And then Jane Says, of course, right there, a live version by Jane's Addiction, really good stuff. I usually try to tailor what I've got to my co-host, Mike, so it's a lot of hard rock and rap. Rebel, what kind of music do you listen to?
Oh, man, I listen to everything except real extreme rap and real extreme country at the two ends of the spectrum. But I like all kinds of, I mean, everything. I have like about 8,000 songs on my iTunes. I got, and then there, it's everything from like, I've got like French hip hop to classic with like rock and roll, Aerosmith, you know, Zeppelin, that kind of stuff.
Like I said, I used to be a DJ. I DJed at, clubs in college. I was actually on air for a while on a hot contemporary station, which means at the time, a lot of Phil Collins and Whitney Houston. I'm a big music guy, obviously. So it's fun for me when I go, because I go through my thing like, oh, I heard this song is so great. It's going to be perfect coming out of the break. So I do a lot of that. in my spare time, which I don't have much of, but whatever. All right, so we're going to get into our new segment here. This is one. This show is a little bit different because we've been doing all our lead up to the lead up to the football season starting, and now that it's here, it's just so exciting. But we got a whole new format for the show now. So right now, we're going to do a thing called bold predictions, and I'm going to give you two bold predictions for today, and I'm going to give you one for the season, one bold prediction for the season. And after what happened on, I wrote this before Thursday, but after what happened on Thursday, I don't know how bold it looks anymore.
okay.
But, and I know Ravel's got some for you too. Ravel, go ahead. Why don't you go ahead? Give me one of your bold predictions.
Okay. Mine are kind of combos. So every one of mine has a prediction for today and a sort of corollary prediction for the season for the same guy or team.
That's
okay,
awesome.
So the first
way
one
more,
is
way better than mine.
So the first one is the Rams beat the Seahawks today, and I'm going really bold here. St. Louis wins the NFC West.
Wow! Wow! I love that.
You know,
that is awesome.
That is awesome. My theory is go bold or don't go at all. So I'm going way bold.
That's
here.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely bold. I think even more so the pick for today just because they're missing their top two running backs. But I still kind of – here's what I've – it's my opinion on the Seahawks. It's been my opinion on the Seahawks since probably – well, for a while now. They are a completely different animal at home and on the road. At home, they're virtually unbeatable. On the road, they're a fairly beatable team. I mean, they still have a pretty decent road record, but it's nowhere near what they do at home. If you get them in your place – you got a much better shot of beating the Seahawks than if you have them in Seattle. So I like your bold prediction there. That's pretty awesome.
I agree completely.
Go ahead.
And part of that, actually, I'm sorry, part of that has to do with the fact that the Rams are really talented. They're a talented young team that has to grow up at some point, and I think it's going to happen over the course of this season.
Yeah, and I like Nick Foles as their quarterback. I think he fits in their system a lot better than he did in Philly. And it's just a shame that they don't have Gurley and Mason today, because then you could really see what they can do against Seattle. But we're going to pick that game later, so I don't want to give too much away there. But I definitely like that bold prediction. That's awesome. My first bold prediction is coming from one Mr. Teddy Bridgewater for today. Teddy Bridgewater against the San Francisco 49ers will do something he has never done in his career. He will throw for four passing touchdowns today against the 49ers defense.
Wow.
And also, I think... Yeah, for today. I think he's going to have a huge year. I am in love with Teddy Bridgewater this year. Watching him throughout the preseason, I think he just looks like a guy who just the lights come on. He had a really good rookie season. He didn't do anything that made you think, man, this guy doesn't belong. And now I think with the addition of Mike Wallace, even though I don't love Mike Wallace as a receiver, I think he still is going to add that dimension to their offense where teams have to be aware of him going deep. Which is going to open up the underneath for a guy like Kyle Rudolph, who's healthy this year. And you've got young Charles Johnson on one side. And if you can teach Cordarrelle Patterson to run anything but a nine route on the other side. And obviously there's that one guy in the backfield that teams are going to pay a lot of attention to, especially today, first game back, Adrian Peterson. I think that opens up a big game for Teddy Bridgewater today. And I think he's going to throw for four touchdowns. Give me your next one, Rebel.
Nice. I like it. Okay, so speaking of quarterbacks, here's my next very, very bold prediction. This is that Kirk Cousins throws for 300-plus yards against the vaunted Dolphins defense. And here's the crazy one. The Redskins win eight or more games this year.
Wow. Wow.
I know.
I don't think a lot of people have that one.
That's pretty crazy. Here's why. I think that, you know, I engaged in an exercise not long ago where I ranked the front offices and general managers of the different teams in the NFC East, and I actually think the Redskins come in second. I think Scott McLuhan is a really sharp GM. I may be a year or so early on this because the Redskins, you know, most the narrative is that they're in disarray, but everywhere he's gone, he's built tough, hard-nosed teams that win by punching you in the mouth. And so I think the Redskins are on their way to being that team.
So I absolutely agree about McLuhan. I absolutely 100% agree. I think he is exactly what that team needed. I like Jay Gruden as a coach. I think he's a guy who's in a bad situation with the whole RG3 thing because Daniel Snyder is – RG3 is so much Daniel Snyder's boy. That
absolutely.
It makes it really difficult for Gruden because he's a guy who apparently knows football pretty well. I mean, he looks to me like – I mean, coming from the Gruden family, his brother, all this other – and he comes in here and he looks, he's like, this guy just isn't my guy. It's just not going to work with this guy. And he so wanted to do other things. But and now he's got Kirk Cousins in there, and hopefully Cousins can look better than he did last year when he came in spots. And I think that's a really bold prediction. I like it. I like where you're coming from with that. I think Miami's got a good defense, but it's interesting. I mean, on paper, right? I mean, but we haven't seen it on the field. I love Sue as an addition there to help them stop the run, but maybe the pass is the way that Washington goes today. I love it. Okay, so my next one is a bit of a bold prediction. I think here's the thing. The Houston-Kansas City game today, I don't think it's going to be a very high-scoring game. I don't think that's really going out on a limb there, but I think that Justin Houston and J.J. Watt, the two opposing defensive superstars, are going to combine mm-hmm. for 9 sacks today.
Whoa, 9. That's bold.
It's a lot. But I think this is going to be an absolute sack fest. I don't love either of the team's offensive line, and I absolutely think these two players are going to just feast today on the opposing quarterback. I think it's going to be a huge day for both of them. And I think if you love defensive football, watch that game because, man, is that going to be good.
Wow, so the AFC sack race, those two guys are going to get out to a huge lead on the rest of the field.
Right, and they're going to want to show each other, you know, Justin Houston probably has a bit of a chip on his shoulder, I would think, because everyone's just talking about J.J. Watt, and Justin's over here like, what about me, guys? You know what I mean? This guy is amazing.
Yep.
I actually love him. I love him for
fantastic.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So give me your third, and then I'll give you mine that doesn't seem so bold anymore.
Okay, I have a third, but then I also have a special bonus prediction.
Okay, good. Do both.
So my third prediction, the first half of it is not that bold. It's that the Broncos will beat the Ravens today. But here's the bold part. They will finish behind the Raiders in the AFC West.
I love the Raiders. Yeah. I love them this year.
I do too.
Go ahead. I didn't pick them to quite make the playoffs this year, but I don't think I love them as much as you do. But that's pretty bold. Go tell me, explain to me why.
I was gonna say part of this has to do with how much I like the Raiders, and part of this has to do with how much I think that there are so many key players in the Broncos who are old, and old teams with old players in key spots are exactly the kind of teams where the wheels can fall off all at once.
Yeah, and I know one of the players talking
about that happening in Denver.
Yeah, and one of the players that you're talking about that a guy that we both love a lot, DeMarcus Ware, I just don't know if this is one year too many for him.
Yeah, I think you say the same thing for the quarterback, and so a couple of those guys stop being effective, and you know it becomes very difficult for them to compete.
Yep. All right. So now, what's your bonus?
Here's my bonus. And this is a nice segue to our next segment with Tom Ryle. This is a sort of Cowboys-centric bonus, and it's this.
Okay, good.
DeMarco Murray rushes for fewer than 50 yards, and he'll be outgained on the season by Joseph Randle.
Okay. I buy that a lot. And here's the thing. I've seen people picking him really, really high. And there's two reasons why you shouldn't, like in your fantasy draft, just to kind of tie it back into fantasy. One, he had 392 touches last year, and historically speaking, the last six guys who've had 390 touches came back the next year to not gain 1,000 yards. And now he's splitting time in a backfield. I guarantee you he's splitting time. It's not going to be like Dallas.
Absolutely.
He thinks he's going to be Ryan Matthews is going to get a very high amount of carries, certainly compared to what Joseph Randle got behind DeMarco Murray in Dallas last year. And you've got this vaunted – I'll piggyback one off of your bold prediction. Philadelphia's vaunted three-back backfield, with each of them having recorded 1,000-yard seasons in the past, none of them will have a 1,000-yard year this year. None of them.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only way that happens is if two of them get injured early or something.
Yeah. I agree. I think if one of them, one or two of them, say particularly if Matthews or Murray goes down early, I think the other one has a shot at 1,000. I don't think Sproles is never getting 1,000 yards rushing again.
That's
I don't
right.
think. I mean, just
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. All right, so my last bold prediction, which looked like a really bold prediction before Thursday night's game and now looks like a less bold prediction, is that Rob Gronkowski will break the single-season touchdown record of 23 set by Randy Moss back in 2008.
Wow. That's pretty bold. I mean, yeah, he had a big first game, but that's a lot of production from a tight end. Wow.
It is.
Watching
the Thursday night game actually kind of reinforced this for me. As good as Tom Brady is, and he is very, very, very good, in my opinion, he is no longer their best player on offense.
Mm-hmm.
I really think Gronkowski is their best player. I think he – and just watching him on Thursday just totally reinforced me. I texted Mike during the games a lot, and I texted him. I said, this guy is just an animal. And he looks like a left tackle split out in the slot. It's just ridiculous how big, strong, fast, great hand. He can't be tackled. He can't be covered. I don't know how you stop Rob Gronkowski. Unless, of course, you have Sean Lee, because then you can cover
him. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right.
I can't wait for that.
You have to triple team him with, like, Deion Sanders, Ronnie Lott, and Lester Hayes, and then maybe you have a chance.
Right. I mean, you've got to have some freakish athlete who's as big as him, and it's just they just don't make a lot of guys like that. You know what I mean? He's just such a problem for other defenses. I mean, and certainly – like we said earlier, we don't particularly like Pittsburgh's defense this year, but he is just such an issue. And I just think every time they're near the goal line, I mean, there's just no chance they're not going to at least try to get him the ball in the end zone. I mean, anytime they're inside the 20, Brady's going to be looking for Gronkowski. So I feel like 23 is a number that he will beat. I think he'll beat it by two. I think he gets to 25 receiving touchdowns this year, which is obviously a just stupid number for a tight end. Stupid. But I think
that's a little more than 1.5 a game. That's huge.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think part
start.
Of it. Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that there aren't a lot of other weapons. So it's not like he's going to be able to go to other guys either.
Right. I mean, LaFell is he's good, not great. Edelman's really good, but he's a smaller guy. Yeah, I mean, Dobson. I mean, the receivers just aren't great. And that was kind of surprising. Mike and I were both a little surprised that Reggie Wayne didn't make the team. And, you know, Mike said, it's like, as you said, Mike's a Patriots fan. He's like, the receivers on New England are, by and large, uninspiring guys. And I can't believe Reggie Wayne didn't make the team. So that's what it is. He's absolutely the number one weapon in their offense, and I feel like he's the best player on their team now. And again, that's not a knock on Brady. Brady's still great. It's just I think Rob Gronkowski is in his prime, where Brady's starting to tail off a little bit, but still very good and still very capable of leading that offense to great things. Okay, so we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to do our final segment, and our final segment will include Tom Ryle. By the way, Rebel, I did not let Ryle know that you were going to be on.
Okay, good.
So we're going to be a little bit of a surprise, unless he's listening already. But so it'll be a little bit of a surprise for Tom. So we'll do that when we come back. We're going to hit the three commercials that work. I may hit them both a couple times, or all three of them a couple times. But we'll be back in just a few minutes right here on Assignment Football on FanUp Sports Radio Warehouse Radio Network.
FanUp Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Attention sports fans, FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are...
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Assignment Football on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. I didn't screw it up that time. That's good. In the Meantime by Space Hog, by the way, Resident Alien, one of the great all-time one-hit wonders of the 90s. That song has, like, my favorite bass line of any of the one-hit wonders of the 90s. It's just a really great bass drop in there. Good lyrics, even though if you don't know what they mean, which I don't. But, hey, it's all good stuff. And what a good video. It was fun times. Fun times back in the 90s, Rebel.
Indeed, indeed. You know, that and Chumbawamba are a couple of my memories of music in the 90s.
Remember the girl, was it the guy on Chumbawamba who had like the leopard spot hair dye? It was just a really weird hair dye. And there's this weird anarchist group from Ireland. They're basically like an anarchist collective who also have a band, and they're advocating you stealing their album. It was so great. What a weird group of people they were. All right, so we're a couple minutes away from Tom Ryle. it's been really good this morning so far. We're pretty happy about this. So when Tom comes on in just a couple minutes, and I hope he calls in soon, we're going to talk about obviously the most important game of the week. That would be the game between the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. So just so you know, if you're not familiar, I'm the lead Dallas Cowboys writer for FantasySportsWarehouse.com. Rabble Rouser and Tom Ryle both write for BloggingTheBoys.com. They've been there for quite a while. Really, they're two of the guys that got me interested in blogging. As a huge Cowboys fan, I was on that site all the time, reading everything that Rabble and Tom Ryle did. So I owe a huge debt of gratitude to both of them. But I've got Rabble in front of me right now, so I just want to say thanks for the inspiration. I really appreciate it. Kind of put me where I am today. It's really great to talk to you. It's a really cool thing for me to be able to sit here and have a conversation with you about football, about the Cowboys, about music, about anything. So it's really cool. I really appreciate you agreeing to come on this radio show very last minute. So thanks a lot, Rabble. I really appreciate that. You've been a fantastic co-host for me.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure. You know, I feel like I'm in the same position where I was where you were, a big fan who was reading Blogging the Boys and other sites and thinking to myself, wouldn't it be cool if I could do that, you know? And so, I think it's one of those things where it's really great to welcome more people into the kind of Cowboys blogging family. And so, I feel like I want to give you a little, put my arm around your neck and give you a little noogie and welcome you on in.
Thanks, Ben. I really appreciate it. So, and a really cool thing that's happened actually just recently on FantasySportsWarehouse.com is I've now gotten to the editing side of it, which is really cool. It's something that I really enjoy doing, kind of helping other writers, reading their stuff. And we do obviously a lot more than just the Cowboys on our site. That's my main focus. I don't even necessarily write about fantasy sports in my blogs. I'm really more concerned with how the Cowboys are doing. And I know that Rabble's read some of my things, which I'm kind of humbled by. But now that to get into the editing side of it is really kind of cool. So I want to thank the guys at FantasySportsWarehouse.com for their faith in me. I've only been writing for the site since June, so I really appreciate them looking at me as someone who could help improve the content, I guess, is the best way to say that. We are still waiting for Ryle, so we're going to hold off on the Sunday Night Football talk until he gets here. But he better get here soon. He's late already. That,
come on,
does that surprise you about Ryle?
Yeah, he's a pretty punctual. He's a pretty punctual guy.
Yeah, usually, right? I know it's. Listen, he's in Texas, right? So I mean, it's 11 a.m. there, guy. You know, we don't know who exactly he's got going on. Let's see here. Do a couple things. Let's take a look here. You got anything you want to talk about, Rabble, while we kill some time here? Nothing like putting on the spot, right?
Okay, I'll tell you what. Desert Island.
Okay.
One album. What album
Ooh.
Is it?
Boy, that's tough. Led Zeppelin 1 is probably my first choice. I love that album. I used to sleep to that when I was a kid in my bedroom. Every night I would throw that album on, and it would be my go-to album. Love every track on the song. I'm on the album. Obviously, Jimmy Page, one of the great guitarists of all time, super fantastic, really great album. How about you, Rob?
That's a really good choice. I think the two best Led Zeppelin albums are the two first ones. I mean, they were a lot more sort of blues before the, you know, the sort of long blues tracks are fantastic. Great choice. That would certainly be in the list that I was narrowing down. I think probably, just for nostalgia's sake, but also because it's pretty awesome, I'd probably take Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Oh, such a great album.
I know, it's a pretty
really,
good album.
Really, really good stuff.
You know, I'm not an angsty teen anymore, but when I was an angsty teen, me and my other angsty teen friends would, like, hang out, you know, in one of our rooms with, like, the lights off. We'd all lay on the floor and listen to that album and, like, you know, complain about how awful the world was. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, and the movie, too. Just if you wanted to get weirded out as a teenager, to watch Bob Geldof shaving his nipples off, it was just crazy.
Yeah, and those animations, all the weird animations for the flowers and you know, from you know, the hammers and Run Like Hell, it was just, you know, it was really freaky, and it was a different time. It was a different, you know, like, we were allowed as young kids to kind of be dip into the kind of dark existentialist pool more than I think kids are allowed to these days.
Yeah, and I don't even think they're totally interested. I have a young, well, not a young, she's in her late teens now. She's actually a college student. I have a daughter, and you know, the kids, they just don't care about what the lyrics are. They just don't even care.
Yeah.
Can I whip to it? You know, can
I do
a whip dance?
Right.
And that's really all they're into right now. It's kind of crazy. All right, so we're going to wait for Rob, but we can't wait much longer. We've only got a few minutes left here. We are about 1 hour from kickoff of the early games. We've got a bunch of things going on. So why don't we do this? Why don't we pick the games, which is probably why Ryle's not on here. He's probably trying to avoid the picks because he was so scared of these. So we're going to pick six games. We're going to pick Indy at Buffalo, Detroit at San Diego, Seattle at St. Louis, Baltimore at Denver, Minnesota at San Francisco, and, of course, the New York Giants at Dallas Cowboys. I'll give you the line, but we're not picking against the line. We're going to pick straight up. And I will give you my pick first for Indy at Buffalo. It's Indianapolis -2 at Ralph Wilson Stadium in Buffalo, New York. Now, being for the fact that I'm from New York, from Central New York originally, I have a ton of friends of mine who are Buffalo fans. And I've razzed them for years because, you know, the Cowboys beat them in back-to-back Super Bowls, all those great things. But I actually really like Buffalo this year. I think Buffalo has a real shot to make the playoffs, a real shot to be a wild card contender, especially if Tyrod Taylor is who he appears to be in the preseason. However, I do think that Indianapolis's offense finds a way against the vaunted Buffalo Bills defense today, and I feel like it's going to be close, but I think Indy's going to win this game, probably something in the range of 24-20, something like that feels like the right number to me. So I give Indy the nod. Just to let you know, Mike Mastroianni, our regular co-host, he also picks Indianapolis for this game. Rabble, who do you have for Indy at Buffalo?
Well, I think the first thing we need to say about picking in week one is that week one is the season the week in the season that seems to have the least indication to the way the season actually plays out. There are more false positives, as a friend of mine says, in week one than in any other week of the season. So, because we just don't know about these teams. I tell you what, I am at heart a contrarian. Since both of you guys took Indianapolis, I'll take Buffalo for all the reasons that you said. I think they're at home. I think that, there's probably a lot of juice there. I think they actually may be a more complete team. So I'll take Buffalo, just to be, as I said, a contrarian. And let's say that final touchdown that you think Andrew Luck's going to drive his team to, let's say they're driving down and there's a turnover, and so Buffalo ends up winning 20-17.
All right. So if it's a turnover, I'm going to tell you it's going to be the kid, the rookie corner Darby or whatever his last name is that they got to had like a couple picks in the Cleveland game in the preseason. I think he's really, really, really good. And I like that. And I'll tell you what, that stadium is one of the underrated atmospheres in football. That place is rocking, and those fans can be really nasty. Because I'll tell you what, there's not a lot to do in Buffalo, but you can drink. It is legal to drink in Buffalo, and they take full advantage. All right, next game is Detroit at San Diego, one of the later games. Kind of an intriguing matchup. Two teams that are kind of, Detroit made the playoffs last year. San Diego has playoff aspirations. They're both kind of up and down a little bit throughout their histories, especially recently. I think they look kind of similar. I don't love Detroit's defense as much as I did last year. San Diego -3. All these numbers come from MGM Mirage, by the way. San Diego -3, but I like Detroit on the road. I don't love San Diego's defense, and I think that missing Antonio Gates will be an issue for them. It just makes them a lot more coverable, especially in the red zone, and I think that Detroit will sneak out a win here. I really don't even want to guess what the number is going to be. Probably something fairly high, like 31-24, 31-27, something like that. Mike also, he picks San Diego to win at home, which is obviously a good pick as well. I mean, again, I think these two teams are pretty intriguing. And like Raffle said, it's the first week of the season, so you're just basically going off of what I think. So there you go. Raffle, what's your pick for San Diego, Detroit?
I'm going to side with you on this one, but I think that's because it's a false positive game. I think Detroit wins, but San Diego ends up having a, if not better, then significantly better season. So I'll take the Lions on the road, but I think ultimately San Diego's the better team.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I actually picked the Lions to make the playoff, but it's one of those picks that I'm like, I really feel like I should be picking Minnesota to make the playoffs out of that division over the Lions. So it's one of the ones that I kind of almost regret doing. Our next game, Seattle at the St. Louis Rams. Seattle is a 3.5-point favorite on the road. I wanted to pick the Rams in this game. And I know that Ravel's picking the Rams, okay? And I really want to pick the Rams in this game. And I actually was going to pick the Rams in this game. But with the two top running backs out, I just think it makes them so one-dimensional. It's going to be difficult against that defense. Even without Cam Chancellor, I think we're going to learn a lot about the new secondary look that they've got in Seattle. Obviously, it's been kind of an attrition thing over the past few years. With Brandon Browner gone, now Byron Maxwell gone. You didn't count on Cam Chancellor not being there, but I think that Seattle, again, sneaks this one out. I don't love them on the road. I've said that before. I think they're beatable on the road, certainly much more beatable on the road than they are at home. But I think they're going to end up winning this game something like 27-20, say it that way.
Okay.
Mike also picked Seattle in this game.
Okay. Well, my bold prediction earlier was that the Rams win. I think that if they don't, it's for all the reasons you articulated. I had a chance to watch the Rams a couple of days in a row when they came and scrimmaged against the Cowboys. And they held their own. I mean, they're a good, tough team. They're very talented, and they seem pretty feisty. They seem like they're going to be a tough, feisty team. So, I just think that I think they're like the Raiders. They're young and they're due. And
I like the Rams long term this year. I really do.
I'll take them 26-24.
Okay. Like I said, I like the Rams long term this year. I think if they're going to win today, they're going to do it on defense and a couple of long pass plays to Brian Quick or Stedman Bailey. I think if one of those guys gets behind that defense, they could have a really, really big day. Also, I like the tight end over there. I really like the team. I don't love the fact that they don't have their running backs, but
yeah,
I like that pick.
I agree.
All right. Baltimore at Denver. Denver minus four at home. I'm going to pick Baltimore in this game. I don't love what I've seen from Peyton Manning. And I got now living in Hawaii, I got a bunch of Denver Broncos fans who are my friends because Denver's a big team out here. I don't love Peyton this year. I think it's going to be a significant step back from Peyton. I don't like his arm strength. I think he's extremely guardable, way more guardable than he used to be as far as in the passing game. I think Baltimore's defense, while they're not what they were 3, 4, or 5 years ago, I think they're still very good. I like their coaches. I like their coordinators. I like their offense. I like Justin Forsett. I like Steve Smith Sr. still. I think Joe Flacco might be the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. And I think that Baltimore is one of those teams, they don't care where they're playing you. They don't care what the atmosphere is. They're just going to go out there and beat you. And I think that comes from their head coach, John Harbaugh. I really like Baltimore in this game, and I think it's going to be fairly high scoring. I think Denver probably gets some points somewhere in the 24 range. I think Baltimore ends up with 30, 31 points, somewhere like that. Mike also actually picks Baltimore in the road upset. Rabble, what you got?
Well, I think I said earlier that Denver will beat Baltimore but then finish behind the Raiders. So I've got to stick with that. I can't contradict myself from section to section. So I'm going to pick Denver, and this is why. I think that the kind of old team I talked about earlier that ends up kind of fading and then sometimes even imploding toward the end of seasons, those are the teams, let's say like the 97 Cowboys. Remember the 97 Cowboys? They were an old team. They ended up being horrible that year. They were 6-10. That opening game, they went in and beat a very good Pittsburgh Steelers team 37-7 or something like that. They just demolished them. I think this is what happens. Sometimes old teams are more ready to play early in the season because they're seasoned veterans, but they just don't have the legs. So I think Denver wins.
Right.
I think Baltimore's a vastly superior team, and that'll prove itself out by the end of the season. So I think Denver wins, but they're going to be better now than they are at any other point in the year.
I like it. And like after what I saw from Pittsburgh on Thursday night, sure, snap judgment, knee-jerk reaction, I don't know that Baltimore isn't the favorite to win that division. All right, the next game, another one that's very intriguing, a lot of moving parts in this one. It's Minnesota, young and up-and-comer, against San Francisco, a team that's lost a lot. Minnesota is a 2.5-point favorite on the road at San Francisco. That's kind of, that would have been pretty much a shocker last year, but San Francisco is in so much turmoil. I love Minnesota to win this game. I don't think it's going to be very close. I think if San Francisco is able to score 14 points, it's going to be good for them. I think this is more like a 28-14, 31-14 win for the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, I have to pick at least 28 because I picked Teddy Bridgewater to throw 4 touchdowns today. So maybe it's going to be 35. Because I want to give Adrian a touchdown too because I think he's going to find the end zone as well. So 35-14, I think. The Vikings really lay one on the San Francisco 49ers today. Mike also likes the Vikings in this game. No score, of course. Go ahead. What do you got?
I'm going to agree with both of you. I'll take the Vikings as well, but with the proviso that it's possible San Francisco could still be good. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, remember the last couple of years when they've had like 12 and 13 draft picks and they've drafted a whole bunch of guys who are actually, pretty good players who might have had a ding and so they're or something, about them so that their draft status went down a little bit. They've had some really good deep drafts. So I know they've gotten rid of a lot of the household names, but it makes me wonder if it's not one of those things where they did so because there's a bunch of young bucks, sort of chomping at the bit, ready to take over. I don't know. The whole thing, it's just a strange, strange equation in San Francisco. I think they could be a 3-13 team and they could be a 12-4 team. I really don't know. But for now, just because we don't know, I'm going to agree with you and take the Vikings.
Yeah, and I think maybe the most intriguing player in this game is the rugby player, Jared Hayne. And I want to see if they're going to use him as their primary return man. I think he could be really spectacular in that role. I think he could really, really be something in this league. He looks really good. He's very strong. I like him catching passes out of the backfield against San Diego in the preseason. I think the guy is amazing. All right, last game to pick. I think I know where we're going with this one. The New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. Actually, we're going to pick that one after we talk about the game. We're going to take a really short break. We'll be right back to pick to talk about Giants-Cowboys, and then we'll pick that game. All right, Rebel?
Sounds good.
So really short break. We will be right back after this on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com is your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Turn me up, yeah, come on, yeah.
All right, we're back on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. This is Assignment Football, week one of the NFL season. And, Rabbi, I think I have a surprise for you. Tom Ryle, is that you?
Yes, I'm sorry. A little miscommunication on getting in touch with you, but I'm here now.
That's all right, great. You're here just in time. I knew you were trying to avoid those picks, so good on you. All right, we're going to talk about the
Well played, Tom.
Game of the
well
day.
Played indeed.
All right, Brother Ryle, it's great to talk to you in person finally. Thanks for joining us this morning. Let's get right into it. We've got about 12 minutes. Tell me about tonight's game. What's going on? Dallas hosting the Giants. Go.
Well, the main thing is that it's a battle of the health, I think. The Giants are coming in kind of banged up, and that's outside of Jason Pierre-Paul showing up with fewer fingers than they expected. Dallas is coming in with all 53 players available for the active roster tonight. So I think that's going to be a big thing. And then what I think everybody's watching for are the two big stories with Dallas. One, how's the running game going to go, which I kind of expected. By about the second or third quarter, it'll start smoothing out and everything will be fine with that. It may be a little bit rough getting everybody going because they haven't been on the field a lot, but it'll be fine. Then how is the pass rush going to look? And if we see the pass rush coming on the way that most Dallas fans are kind of thinking it's going to happen, we're going to be seeing a lot of Eli struggle face tonight, and I think that'll be the story of the game.
Yeah, Manning faces something I'm looking forward to a little bit as a Cowboys fan. Rabble, what's your take on I'm talking about the defensive line and how they might look against an offensive line in New York that's really had some issues in the preseason and hasn't really looked very good.
I'll tell you the place where I'm going to be looking the most is at the New York right tackle versus the Cowboys left defensive end. DeMarcus Lawrence, I think, is the most improved player on the team. He remade his body in the offseason, and he was just dominating tackles, including sometimes Tyron Smith, in training camp with this sort of stunning combination of speed and power. He gained probably 15 pounds of muscle and somehow managed to get quicker. And,
yeah.
So he was a guy who was coming out at the end of last season, and he's going up against a journeyman Marshall Newhouse. So it's very clear that the Giants are going to have to swing protection to that side, but I'm not even sure how much that's going to help. I think the Cowboys have a decided advantage there, but also just in the sense that the Cowboys have,
you know, they're going to be able to suit up eight guys who can beat you in different ways. You know, this notion of waves that Marinelli wants in the defensive line is something that they've been building toward for a couple of years. And, you know, usually the second wave was guys who were sort of marginal NFL players, bottom of the roster guys, and now they're all, you know, legitimate NFL guys who can beat you. And so I think that, you know, Tom is right in terms of the two dominant narratives from the game. But I'm those are exactly the two things I'm really looking forward to, because I think they're going to have so much impact on what happens with the season. But I think that, you know, the Cowboys' lines, both their offensive line against a depleted Giants defensive line, and then the Cowboys' new revamped defensive line against the Giants, you know, reordered and depleted offensive line. I think those things are both, you know, pretty significant mismatches in Dallas's favor.
Yeah. Right. Go ahead, Tommy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to add one thing. The matchup I'm looking for, Randy Gregory against Eric Flowers, because there's video of those two from college, and it does not come out well for Flowers.
It does not, indeed.
And I wonder how Jeremy Mincy is going to take advantage of the rookie as well. And Tyrone Crawford in the middle, fresh off his 5-year extension. I think he's just the kind of guy that's going to go on out there and, you know, just do his job and do it really well. I think I expect a huge year from him, and I love your DeMarcus Lawrence take. I think he is the great forgotten man in this whole mix. Tom, the secondary, certainly they don't have as much to worry about without Victor Cruz out there, but, I mean, talking about Beckham, he's been a problem for them over the first two times they've faced him. How are they going to make that switch? Is Byron Jones going to help? Is Corey White going to help? Are they better enough to cover ODB?
Rod Marinelli does not tend to match up player versus player. He tends to go with assignment by side. So, you know, it's just going to be Odell Beckham's going to be up against whoever he lines up against. It's going to be interesting to see him. I want to see what happens when he goes up against Morris Claiborne, because we're going to find out if Morris Claiborne has really come through the way everybody thinks he has. You know, of course, Brandon Carr was immortalized in that blasted picture when Odell Beckham made that catch. But I think Carr can handle him okay. It's just I don't think Beckham's enough to beat the Cowboys by himself. I'm sure he's going to get some good plays because he's a very good receiver. The question is going to be trying to get to the ball before they can get the ball to him.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that, you know, people are talking about how they're going to stop Beckham, and they're going to stop Beckham because the defensive line is going to win.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think that's the best way to stop him.
Yeah, I think that's the narrative for the season as well. I think the secondary is going to be improved, but the biggest reason they're going to be improved is that they have better personnel than they had a year ago. But I think the defensive line is going to get a lot more pressure than they got a year ago. I think there's almost no way they can't get more pressure than they got a year ago, and that's certainly going to help out your back end. Let's talk about offense a little bit. Talk about the offensive line. Zach Martin looks like he's going to play today. He hasn't played in a while. They haven't had a lot of time together. Does that concern you at all, Tom, about whether or not the offensive line is going to gel quickly?
Not really. It's the same guys that played last year. You know, what has to gel?
Right.
They know each other. They've done this. They've been practicing together. I don't think that's, you know, maybe the first series of downs. After that, I don't think there's any problem.
Good. I don't disagree. I only ask it that way just because, you know, you get a lot of people like, well, they haven't had any time together. They haven't practiced together. These guys basically live together during the football season. You know what I mean? They go to dinner. They go to movies. They hang out. They go bowling. They're like a family unit almost, the offensive line for Dallas. And Zach Martin, of course, a big part of that. I'm excited to see if there's any level of improvement. I mean, how much farther can he go? Tell me about that, Tom. Talk about Zach Martin just for a minute.
It's amazing that a guy in his second year in the season is now being discussed in a lot of places as perhaps the best offensive lineman on a line that has Tyron Smith. But I hear that. I hear people that look at the video and say, from a point of his technique, his skills, his physical abilities, he may be the best guy on that line. And that's a little scary for a guy that's that young. The sky's the limit, I think, for the line. They've just got so much talent. You know, you've got a first-round caliber player named Lael Collins who's going to be warming the bench because they don't need him. How many people can come in and say that? That's why Seth, about the running back question. We figure the answer is the five guys up front. We'll find out tonight if that's true, but we're going to see. It's just, it always amuses me when I remember back that a year ago people were predicting Dallas was going to be a failure because of three reasons. The defense was going to suck. Tony Romo wasn't going to stay healthy, and DeMarco Murray was not a good enough running back.
Yeah, ooh, I mean, I actually wrote a preview article this just before this season, this week, and I kind of referenced an Adam Schein tweet from a year ago. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that one, where you don't make snap judgments in the preseason, but Dallas is the worst team in the NFC.
Yeah, I retweeted up with the best record in the league.
So I'd like to say one thing, if I might, about the defense. The Cowboys' offensive line, which is, I think, all the things that Tom is saying are spot on. I think the other thing that he didn't mention is worth mentioning is that Ronald Leary is actually a much better player this year thus far than he was last year. He's improved in terms of his footwork, and he and Tyron Smith on that left side are hellacious to run behind. The one thing that gives me pause is right tackle. I don't know if we know what we have in Doug Free from a health standpoint and also from an aging standpoint. You know,
Jeremy Parnell.
And no Jeremy Parnell. I mean, I think there's a real it's pretty clear that they're worried about the backup tackles and this Jordan Mills pickup. I mean, in some ways they need a backup right tackle. I mean, I think that's the thing they're concerned about is, do we have anybody who can come in and be at least a sort of reasonable facsimile for Free, like Parnell? Parnell wasn't as good as Free at all last year, but the drop-off was not
good
enough. And so
I think
that's what this Jordan Mills pickup is all about, because I think on some level they're looking at Free and saying, I'm not sure what we have here. Can this guy stay healthy? Is he, you know, what has he shown us?
Yeah.
And I think that's still an open question. I really do.
Yeah, that
might be
the biggest question on the team right now.
Yep. Okay, so we got less than 3 minutes to go. We want to pick this game, and then we got to hit the road. Tom, thanks for joining us in here. Tom, give me your pick. Giants at Dallas. Dallas is favored by 6 points by MGM Mirage in Las Vegas. Tell me what your pick is. You don't have to pick against the spread, obviously.
Oh, I'm going with Dallas. Have to.
Okay.
I think they've got a better team and a lot better health.
Okay. And, Rabble, what do you got?
Well, I agree with Tom for the reasons that Tom said. I mean, look at who they're missing. You know, the most important positions in football are receiver, defensive end, left tackle, corner. Their corners aren't that good. They're missing one of their receivers, and they're missing their best defensive end and their left tackle. That's really problematic. That's really problematic.
It's a recipe for disaster. Yeah.
It is. And so I see a pretty comfortable Cowboys win.
Yeah, I agree. Of course, a lot of the narrative is, well, it's always a high-scoring game. Well, it's always a high-scoring game because they're both good teams usually. This year, I'm not convinced the Giants are a very good team, and I think for a lot of the reasons you guys have said, I predict this big Dallas win. I think it's something like 34-17. I think it's kind of a blowout, pretty comfortable, and I like that. Tom, thank you very much for coming in and joining us. I'm sorry that you didn't get in for the whole time, but I'm really thrilled to have you on here. Got 90 seconds left. Make sure to follow Tom on Twitter, Tom LBTB. Also, read all of his stuff on bloggingboys.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Tom.
I'm glad I made it. Sorry about the confusion. We'll try to do better again.
Oh, it's fantastic to talk to you. We'll talk to you again for sure. Thanks a lot.
I'll be in touch, Tom.
All righty. Thanks.
All right. Rabble, thank you for coming on this week and being my guest co-host, filling in for Mike Mastrolio. You can also